You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
Roto Experts in the Morning with your hosts, Mike Blewett and George Kurtz. Now, here's Mike and George.
There's that sound, folks. It's the start of the Roto Experts in the Morning on this Saturday, April 8th. That's Mike Blewett, George Kurtz, and Matt Modica taking you all the way till 10 o'clock. Happy to have you here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network, and we're going to be talking about, for the first time this season on this show, on the Saturday morning edition, legitimate baseball news in terms of games that mattered, and going over some player performances from yesterday. We'll take a look at today's slate, and obviously take you around the world of fantasy all throughout the day. I think a couple of us are playing hurt. You know, I'm a little under the weather, but still feeling good enough to be with you folks today. George is in the same boat, and Matt Modica, the only healthy one. I'll say to you, Matt, first, how are you feeling?
I am feeling well. Hopefully you guys get better soon. It's going to get 70 and sunny come Monday.
Yeah, I got to turn it around. Try to enjoy some of that day on Monday. And George, how you feeling, buddy?
All I know is this started for me the second day of Tout Wars. That's when I started to get sick. Got pink eye that night. Somebody there got me sick. That's what I'm blaming.
Yeah, there's a lot of guys traveling in from all around the country. So somebody might have brought it from another area of the globe. But we're here to talk a little bit about baseball today. We'll definitely give you a good recap of yesterday, and the first news I think is worth talking about is Nomar Mazara, a guy that we talked about quite a bit during the spring. Hits a grand slam, six RBIs, and lifts Texas to their first victory of the season. So Nomar Mazara, Matt, you and I and George talked about him quite a bit this season, or going into this season, and is at least delivered for the first time in a big way last night.
Yeah, Mazara's off to a hot start. I believe George was very high on him this year. I did like him last year. I was in on him. He had the problems with left-handed pitching, but this is a very talented young man, and he can hit the ball pretty damn far.
Yeah, I'm a big fan, to put it nicely. Matt's right. I was high on him. I think I'm only playing in 5 redraft leagues this year. I decided to cut down to see if I could play better, be a better player if I'm not on so many teams. He's on 4 of my 5 teams, and he was a player that I don't want to say I reached for, but I did not want to lose him. So if his ADP was round 7, I was grabbing him in round 6, maybe even the end of round 5. That's a slight exaggeration. I think it was a little later than that. But I wanted him. I felt this was going to be a possible breakout year for him, and it seemed like in a lot of leagues I didn't have as many outfielders as I wanted, so I also took the breakout player because I wanted to cover myself, assuming I was right about him, to give that little extra boost from outfield. I only had one outfielder going into round 5 or 6.
Yeah, and then Rougned Odor follows up with a 2-run homer there, his 3rd of the season. So as much as Mazara's off to a hot start, Rougned Odor signs that deal. I think it was the day of opening day or the day before, but Rougned Odor, his 3rd home run of the season, Matt.
Yeah, an interesting fact about Rougned Odor, I believe he has more career homers than walks. I mean, a 22-year-old that hit 33 home runs, I thought he might take a little bit of a step back this year, the plate discipline, but the home run ball is obviously here to stay in MLB. We saw it in the WBC. I'm convinced it's not going away. And I think Odor's on. He's looking on pace for another 30 home run season for a second baseman.
Yeah, George, 33 homers last year for Odor. He's obviously coming out swinging, as Matt said. He's got more homers than walks in his career. He's a guy that goes up there swinging away.
That's a fantastic stat. That really is, though, to have more home runs than walks. I mean, at any point in your career, that's kind of strange. But once you play a full season, you got to think that's going in the other direction. You would think eventually that would catch up with them. You know, you can't keep swinging at everything. Sooner or later, pitchers aren't going to throw you strikes if they know you're going to chase it anyway. But for now, it's working out for him. Power's legit. I thought he was underranked during draft season. That maybe because second base is much deeper than we think.
Yeah, you know, I don't want to put lofty expectations on him. And Vlad Guerrero certainly didn't have that stat about the walks versus the homers. But, you know, this is a rare player that can go up there and kind of swing away and swing at just about anything in the strike zone and drive it for power. on the face of it, you don't think Odor is that type of guy, but you know, early in his career, he's still very young. Early in his career, we're seeing that may be the case. He's a free swinger. I don't think anybody can go up there and change his approach, considering the kind of power that he has. So, Matt, as you said earlier, it looks like it might be here to stay, both for him and a lot of the league.
Yeah, I mean, chicks dig the long ball. Baseball's buying in on it. Ever since Rob Manfred became the commissioner, like mid-2015, we've seen a spike in the home run ball. So it's here to stay.
So moving on to the next game, the Royals. Three-run eighth inning for the Royals. And they have their first win of the 2017 campaign. Alex Gordon had a key two-run double in the eighth. And the Royals took advantage of shabby Astros defense, according to Jeff Flanagan and Richard Dean of MLB.com. They win 5-1 over the Stros last night. So they scored five runs over their first three games, and they end up picking up a five spot last night. There was a catcher's interference call with Evan Gattis, who actually got behind the plate, something that we've talked about quite a bit, and how many games is he going to be able to play. But Alex Gordon with a two-run double. Your thoughts, really? We didn't talk about him too much during the preseason, the three of us. But, Matt, maybe your thoughts on Alex Gordon this season.
I think he's a bounce-back player. I mean, I don't think he's going to be phenomenal this season, but I think he's a solid option in the back end of your outfield. The fact that he's leading off is something you like to see. And the Royals are going to give it a go the first couple of months. If things go south, we will be seeing that team get dismantled.
George, you concur with that?
Oh, yeah, I think if the Royals aren't in contention, you're going to see a mass exodus. I mean, there could be a lot. I mean, the Royals aren't, you know, they're not the Yankees, the Red Sox, the Dodgers. They can't afford to pay all these guys. So the way they're going to contend is what we've seen the Rays do. Trade, you know, trade these guys away. Get some younger prospects. Rebuild for 2-3 years down the line. It's a tough way to go. You know, it worked out for them. You know, they got so many young players coming up at once. The Hosmers, you know, the Salvador Perez's, and it got them a World Series title. So, hey, it worked out. But they may have to do it all over again, and it's tough to keep doing that. So, probably the only thing that annoys me about baseball would be the financial disparity there. But I agree with Matt, and I agree about Alex Gordon as well. He is what he is. Yeah, but you know, we all need outfielders that aren't. They're not going to be. Not every outfielder we have is going to be great. I mean, what's the math we do again? 75 outfielders start, 15 team league. You know, if you're in a 12 team league, that's 60 outfielders. With all the reserves, utilities, you're talking almost every outfielder is grabbed. So not all of us are going to have five All-Stars. We need placeholders, guys who aren't going to hurt us. Alex Gordon is that. I don't mind him batting leadoff. Granted, if you want the RBI opportunities, more power, maybe you want him batting a little lower in the lineup. But I'll take what I can get from Alex Gordon. He's not someone I'm relying on to win me a fantasy league. Just don't lose it for me.
And I want to explore the Royal. Go ahead, Matt.
Yeah, I'm sorry about that. One little side note was Raul Mondesi Jr. did steal two bases last night. If the kid can hit enough, I think 30 to 40 stolen bases could be in his future for 2017.
Yeah, that's a great point. So we will continue to track that. He's a guy that we did talk about we were really looking for, when you were looking for stolen bases in your draft, he was a guy that you could have gotten a little bit later. And, Matt, I think you might have picked him up in a league or two. He was a guy you talked about a little bit.
Yes, I have him on a couple of squads. I mean, he's cheap speed. The question is, can he hit enough right now to stay in the lineup?
Yeah. So I want to explore the Royals piece for a second because I think it's a good point, and they will follow a Rays-like model, just trying to be really good with a bunch of young players at the same time. They were able to pull it off and grab the World Series title a couple of years ago. What I would ask is, how do you think it starts, and who's the main piece that would have to go? Obviously, you have some really good players here, but is there a crown jewel that somebody's going to look to grab? Hosmer is a really good piece and a really good player, but would he be the guy that could garner a ton? First base is typically a pretty deep position. You know, let's take injuries out of the equation because clearly that inflates pricing, but who do you think would be the first guy to go? Hosmer's a really good piece, but you don't know if somebody's going to have a hole at first base when they trade.
Is this for me?
Yeah.
Okay. I think the guy that's definitely most likely to go is Lorenzo Cain. Hosmer is attractive as well. I think the Royals will make an attempt to sign Hosmer, but I just don't know how much he's looking for, if he's going to give them any kind of a hometown discount. And another option, another piece that I think is really attractive to teams is going to be Kelvin Herrera. He is under control, which the Royals do like, but that will make teams give up more for him. And we saw last season what relief pitchers, elite relief pitchers or top-notch relief pitchers went for. So I think, you know, he's another guy that has to be considered at some point if things go south.
George, is there any untouchable pieces? Danny Duffy, anybody out there that the Royals would probably consider to be mostly untouchable?
Well, I would consider Duffy to be untouchable. I think the Royals do as well. I mean, no one's completely untouchable. You offer him, Mike Trout with Duffy, Duffy goes. I know that's not happening. I'm just giving you an example. You want to overpay for him, the Royals will deal him. I think Matt named the three players that are more than likely going to be talked about a whole bunch, and that's Kane, Hosmer, and Herrera. And Matt's right. We saw the price of Chapman and Miller last year. I mean, they're going to have to talk about Herrera because, once again, he doesn't have to go to a team to be a closer. He can be a top setup guy, and that's valuable too. We saw what Cleveland did with Miller and Allen last year. Other teams are going to look at that too. It's copycat. You know, if it works for one, it could work for the other here. Hosmer, I think, could be a more difficult trade because he's going to want big-time money eventually. So it may just be a rental. And as you guys mentioned, what if the other team doesn't have an opening at first base? So he may need an injury, really, to move to really get big-time value there. Lorenzo Cain makes sense. Almost every team needs an outfielder. Lorenzo Cain sort of reminds me of Bernie Williams. Not in body type, but in how, you know, baseball doesn't really come naturally. They both started baseball late in their lives. It doesn't really come naturally to them, but they end up being good at it. You know, sort of like God-given ability, born with it. So I could see that another reason to move him, they may not feel he's going to age well in this sport. So I think Cain will be most likely to be moved, with Herrera second, Hosmer third.
Yeah, I sort of like the way you put that. Cain's a tremendous athlete, right? And we see that in his everyday play. But he doesn't always feel like the most instinctual, natural baseball player. He had a really good year 2 years ago. Dipped last year, but I think we expect him to come back to the middle somewhat over the course of this season. I think you're right in saying that Cain is a guy that they can part with, but Herrera is the most fungible. You know, that closer position is usually somebody that can get moved, and you're going to get a good price out of it. So I think the Royals, while they really like him, won't have a hard time letting him go once they hit the price that they need. Wouldn't you say, Matt?
Yeah, no. I mean, like George has stated, it's just the economic thing. I mean, Cain did make a hell of a play last night on a George Springer shot. Very nice catch. But, you know, it's right now for them. They got to be looking. They just won a World Series 2 years ago. They made two trips to the World Series. So their fan base understands the situation. They've been competitive the last few years, have a ring. So I think it's inevitable that this is going to happen.
Okay, so we'll continue to go around the MLB, around the horn, and take a look at some of the other scores from yesterday, talk about some players that were involved in the action last night. It's Mike, Matt, and George on the Roto Experts in the Morning, taking you all the way till 10 o'clock. Back on the Roto Experts in the Morning, taking you around the horn, MLB action yesterday. Friday, April 7th. And we had the Braves going up against the Pirates yesterday. Both teams not quite yet at 500, but back-to-back homers occur for Freeze and Cervelli in that action. Ivan Nova put together a nice outing. He's somebody that we talked about quite a bit during the spring. We kind of liked where his value was. Expected him to be kind of solid this year. I think that was the consensus. You know, you kind of know what you're getting, but if you get a pitcher that you needed in a deeper league, middle rounds, guy that could put together some solid innings, Ivan Nova has his first win of the season, six innings, and shuts him down through those six innings. Only six hits and no walks. So, George, I'll go to you first on Ivan Nova. Your thoughts on him? Obviously a good outing to start off the 2017 campaign.
Yeah, we talked about him during Old School Fantasy yesterday, how we thought he was a decent play, good fantasy play yesterday, mainly because, you know, Nova, when he was with the Yankees, he always had good stuff, wasn't always consistent. He had command, but maybe not command within the zone. Going to the National League helped him out last year. You know, and it'll help out most pitchers. Let's face it, it's weaker lineups. You face the pitcher, the eighth place batter usually is not very good, so it helps out most pitchers, and he's done well since going there. You know, yesterday I liked him because, hey, he's going up against Atlanta, not the greatest offense on the planet, and it was going to be cold. You know, I tend to like pitching a lot more cold weather. Batters don't like to hit in cold weather. You know, throw that ball on the outside, get them, you know, hit that ball at the end of the bat to get those bees in their hands. Not fun. So I thought Nova was a good start yesterday. I don't expect miracles out of him. He's not going to be a Cy Young candidate. But fantasy-wise, SP4, SP5, you could do worse.
Yeah, Nova, he's now pitched 70, just over 70 innings with the Pirates. And I think now the total is 56 strikeouts to 3 walks. He walked 0 batters yesterday. And I think the biggest advantage to him with the Pirates is park factor does matter. PNC is very forgiving for him. It will suppress the home run ball versus Yankee Stadium, which would punish him for the home run ball.
The opposing pitcher, Fulton Evich from the Braves, not really a great start for him. It seems like he kind of struggled. 6 hits, 3 walks in 3 2/3, could not get out of that 4th inning. So kind of a rough start for him, but younger pitcher, Matt, a guy you've talked about a bunch, there'll be better days to come.
Yeah, Fulton Evich is a talented arm. The question is he a starting pitcher or long-term will his future be in the bullpen where he can be a lockdown reliever? I mean, 91 pitches, he was unable to get out of, he was unable to complete 4 innings. So we're going to, I think Atlanta's doing the right thing. They need to see if he can be a starting pitcher. But if not, I think he has a very bright future in the bullpen.
George, 91 pitches through not even 4 innings. He was obviously working pretty hard.
Yeah, it's not good. Not good at all. Once again, young pitcher is going to have days like this. You know, the Braves, I think they're on their way, but this is not going to be their year. There's a reason they signed Dickey and Cologne to give these guys, the younger pitchers, some breathing room. And they have plenty of young arms in the minors. You know, these guys are going to come up. These guys are going to push the Fulton Edwards to make sure if they're not pitching well, hey, you'll lose your spots. There'll be some nice competition here. As far as Fulton Edwards this year, listen, he's a back-of-the-rotation starter for you fantasy-wise. I'm sorry. According to Scott Ankle, there's no rotation in fantasy. Back-of-your-staff starter. So he is what he is. All right? I'm not expecting miracles this year. The Yankees tried to get him for Brian McCann when the Braves were interested in McCann in the offseason. Braves wouldn't go for it. Don't blame them. I think Fulton Edwards will be good in time. Got to be patient. Fantasy-wise, though, he's probably on my bench more often than in my lineup.
And, yeah, so I guess the one thing I would say, because I think you made a good point about the R.A. Dickey and Cologne signings, they're a little bit of a head-scratcher initially, but when you start diving into it and you see how the staff is set up with all these young pitchers, George, as you said, it gives them some breathing room. They have two guys that they know they can give them a lot of innings and not tax the bullpen when somebody like Fulton Evich leads to 4 different relievers in week 1, which, well, obviously earlier in the season, the guys are going to be getting a lot of work. Starters aren't going to be stretched out all that much. But it really is kind of a wise move by the Braves. You like the Braves this year to be a little better than people expect, but as you said, you don't have playoff expectations. So the two older pitchers that are known for getting in a lot of work and 200 plus innings every single year, it really helps out the rest of the younger staff.
Yeah, maybe you want to go with the veteran or pitchers, you know, going to mentor the young guys. I don't know how much R.A. Dickey can mentor anybody with the knuckleball. You know, yeah, he's been around through the wars of pitching 200 inning seasons, that sort of thing. Cologne, he seems to be a clubhouse giant, right? Everybody loves him. Hell, the Mets loved him. They were pretty much paying homage to him the other night when he started Shea. What was the City Field? What was that, Wednesday night, Thursday night? I mean, it's funny how things have worked out, right? I mean, everybody hates A-Rod. You know, Giambi's vilified McGuire. Yet David Ortiz, Cologne loved, even though they all did the same thing. They all been caught using steroids. So kind of find that funny.
Yeah, George, you're right. I mean, I guess it's the personalities. Like, I mean, A-Rod, I didn't even want to like him when he went to the broadcast booth, but he does a hell of a job, I have to say. I mean, The man does very well breaking down baseball.
Continuing through this game, and I think, by the way, George, I think a lot of Red Sox fans would argue with you on the Ortiz note that he just dropped. But
he's on the list.
Yeah, he was on the list.
You can argue all you want about it. He's on the list.
Yeah, he's on the anonymous list. He's not in the Mitchell report, but he's on the anonymous list. Yes?
That's correct.
I'd love to hear all the names on that list. Listen,
You're only going to hear them if they're famous. You'd only hear them if they were famous.
I'm not saying there's anything bad about that, by the way. I think most players were doing it. And I'd put three-quarters of the players in. I don't know. You know, we've never talked to Matt about this. My view has changed. Back, you know, when this first came out, yes, I was up against, oh, it's terrible. How can they do this? Nowadays, I don't care. You know, if you want to put this, you know, they're entertaining us, right? And they're all doing it. Why do I care? Hollywood actors can do it, and actresses, they all do it, right? To look better for the screen. We don't care about them. We don't really care about our football players doing it. But it's baseball, we do care because the numbers are so holy. Listen, the game has changed so much over the years. Who cares about the numbers? It's not the same game it was when Babe Ruth played. It's just not. So I don't know if it bothers me all that much. Listen, and I don't want to be hypocritical either. If I'm a player and putting a needle in my butt was going to keep me on a major league roster and make that money, you know, take care of my family, I'd be lying if I told you there's no way I would do it. And I've never done an illegal drug in my life. But I'd be lying if I absolutely told you, oh, no way I would do that. I can't say that. I don't know.
Yeah, I'm with George.
Your thoughts on that. We have not talked to you about it.
On the fact that if I could take like a magic pill or take a needle and I could be the best at whatever I was doing, and you know, like A-Rod made like $500 million. So, but on the flip side, I was really against people getting into the Hall of Fame. I thought the steroid era kind of perverted the game in a way, but now I'm kind of past that. I think everybody has to get in. I really don't care if they put a special thing in the Hall of Fame wing or not, but I do want strict testing, and I would like the game to kind of go back to the way it's been. I mean, maybe it's because I grew up in the 80s, and I'm a National League guy, and I like that kind of game, but that's just me.
Let's argue some more here, or at least debate. DH or no DH? You said you're a National League guy. DH or no DH?
Oh, I'm the guy that says ban the DH.
I'll give you a third option. DH, no DH, which I don't care as long as both leagues play by the same rules.
You know, I would love to see both leagues play by the same rule, but I would rather see it with the pitcher batting.
See, I'm a guy.
The Players Association is never going to let the DH get banned.
No, never. You're absolutely right.
You are
right.
That's
too much money. That's not going away.
But I would say add a couple of players, raise the league minimum. There are ways that they could do it to, you know. But you're right. It's going to be the DH first. It's going to be the DH for every team at some point. It's going to change. Baseball wants offense, and that's just the way it's going to go.
Funny thing about this, 20 years ago, I worked in a place. It was a retail store. And it was a job out of college, and I was working there, and Peter Gammon stopped in, and I ended up chatting with him for like 5 minutes, and we talked about this, and there was a debate back then. I mean, just to show you how long this debate is going on, there was a debate. It was right after the Armando Benitez drilling of Tino Martinez, if you guys remember that.
Yeah, I remember.
So, really famous bench-clearing brawl. We talked about that a little bit because Peter Gammons was very strong on it. His commentary had been very strong on it on ESPN, where he was at the time. And I was like, I appreciated what you said, and I agree with you. He's like, yeah, well, the problem is that, you know, these guys don't have to hit, and they'll never face any real consequences. So he said you can't really blame the Yankees for getting mad like that. He tried to injure one of their players. And then he talked a little bit about how the DH is at the heart of the issue, but it will never go away because the Players Association knows that that's, at the moment, 14, 15 free jobs out there for guys that might not be playing otherwise. So it's really at the heart of the issue that they won't let that go away. It's a very high-paid position in some instances. Ask Edwin Encarnacion about that. That's sort of where I'm at. Matt, I can respect where you're coming from because there is additional strategy in the National League that you can't get in the American League. I just think if it were to go one way, it's going the way of the DH.
Yeah, that's I feel the same way. I'm with you on that. And the whole story on how the DH, the National League almost got the DH. ESPN did a great piece on it a couple years back. And pretty much the Pirates were voting with the Phillies or vice versa. And I guess the owner of the Phillies went hunting that day. So he abstained, and the Pirates said whatever the Phillies were going to do, they were going to do something to that agreement was made. So neither team voted on it, and that's how the DH did not come to the National League.
Awesome. Glad the guy really pitched in to help out there. George, back to the Pirates and Braves. So Tony Watson gets a save. He's a guy we talked about a little bit. Do you feel good about Tony Watson standing throughout the year as a closer in Pittsburgh?
No, I haven't from day one. I don't feel all that much better now. I was actually surprised they went with him, from the get-go. Because, he didn't have a great year last year. Yeah, he really got his. He was okay last year. Why he was anointed as the closer? I mean, I sort of looked at this once again. Let's go with the veteran. Automatically, without maybe going with a better reliever. Plus, I didn't like the idea of he was pretty good in the setup role outside of last year. Why upset two positions, the closer and the setup role? I also think Pittsburgh, not exactly a big market. They went out and signed Daniel Hudson to a pretty decent free agent contract here. That seemed to signify they want him to play a pretty significant role in their bullpen. So I thought maybe he would get the role. I still think he might eventually. So that's going to play into as well. I mean, Hudson signed a 2-year, $11 million contract with Pittsburgh. That's a lot of money. And they also got Felipe Rivera, who they acquired in a Melanson deal. I thought he would be given a shot, but I'm not surprised that Clint Hurdle is a little hesitant to give it to the young pitcher here. I think it's going to be Hudson's role eventually. I don't know when that's going to be, but I expect Hudson to get this job.
I've not been a fan of Tony Watson. I own zero shares. I've railed against him this offseason. I think the only reason he's got the closing gig right now is he's an impending free agent. Pittsburgh will look to flip him. I agree with George that Hudson will get the initial shot. I think Hudson, Rivera are both superior arms. And my favorite arm in that bullpen is Juan Nicasio, but I think he's going to be used more in the multi-inning role, more of like their Andrew Miller-esque player. So I think they have a very good bullpen. I don't know why Wade LeBlanc made an appearance yesterday. I think he had 14 homers and 11 walks last year. I mean, I don't know why this guy's on a major league roster.
Well, he pitched a third of an inning, gave up 3 hits and 3 earned runs. So he's sporting a healthy 81 ERA right now. And the other 4 guys that pitched didn't give up any runs. So that's the deal. They do pull off the win. Starting Marte, 2 hits and 2 RBIs yesterday. And Andrew McCutchen, 3 hits in 4 at-bats and RBIs. So pretty good day for them.
George. Yeah, I mean, people were a little worried about McCutchen. I was hearing yesterday, he hasn't gotten a hit. I mean, it's the first week of the season. If this was the middle of June, nobody would care. I don't even look at batting averages for the first week. I look at mostly, who's striking out a ton, who's getting walks, and, stuff like that. Moreover, I think the one important note from this game is Matt Kemp did leave. Supposedly it's precautionary, but we'll wait and see on that.
Well, he's in such good shape. It's odd that we would see Matt Kemp get nicked up throughout the year. We'll talk about a few more games when we come back. Sox, Tigers, Nats, Phils. It's Mike, Matt, and George back in a few minutes. We're back on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network, going through yesterday's action. I want to pause for a second in our action to kind of update Matt and George on what I was able to do in my draft last Sunday night. It was. I went through it. I ended up joining a 12-team roto league. So my league historically over the last few years has been a head-to-head league. So I switched over to roto. But obviously used a lot of, what's funny is that I ended up picking a lot of the players that we talk about constantly. And, yes, I do have James Segura on my team. So I had to continue the tradition of this show. He's the most talked about player on the show, so I did end up drafting him. But just to give you a sense, I'm really struggling early, but again, it's the first week of the season. I'm not freaking out, but I feel pretty good about it. Lucroy at catcher, Hosmer at first, Cano, Machado, Segura, Peraza, Greg Bird. Outfield is Stanton, Bautista, Kane, Kiermaier, Judge. Then I got Yadier Molina, Javi Baez, and Brandon Drury, Hunter Pence. I guess the only thing I'm concerned about is I don't know how my batting average is going to be compared to some of the other teams in the league. I got a couple of guys that I feel really good about, but the rest of the squad, I don't know if I can keep the batting average up to where it needs to be. I got a lot of good players in there, but I'm kind of concerned about that. And then my staff, Scherzer, Archer, Duffy, Harvey, which I was really encouraged the other night, and Matt Moore. Those are the starters. Relievers are Cam Bedrosian, Dylan Betances, Frankie Rodriguez, Britton, like I said earlier. But Danny Duffy, Segura, Bedrosian, all the guys that we talk about on a nearly weekly basis, I ended up snagging as many of those as I could. So I don't know if your thoughts there on my squad, if you think there's any holes from hearing it. I wanted to get both of your opinions.
Well, I think your pitching staff sounds pretty good. I mean, anytime you start with Max Scherzer, that's a good thing. The only thing I would be concerned in the bullpen is with Frankie Rodriguez. I think K-Rod is maybe this year's Houston Street. He's looking pretty done to me. So I would have some concerns. The one good thing for K-Rod is he's got some job security for now. I don't think Bruce Rondon is really a threat. Maybe the kid Joe Jimenez eventually maybe gets a shot. But job security is best for him. As far as batting average, I know you have Robbie Cano, which is a good thing. He's a good floor guy to have. The batting average thing, that can fluctuate year to year with players. You know, guys like, you know, Chris Davis could bat 230 one year, bat 260 the next. So I don't know how that's going to play for you. But I do like your overall team from what I heard.
George, did you know the Mariners are selling grasshoppers?
Yeah, I saw that. Darren Lavelle put that out there yesterday.
What do you mean?
The Mariners are selling grasshoppers as a snack. You
is
know,
like
french
fries?
Covered? Yeah. I don't care what it is.
It's really weird. I mean, I don't want to paint a broad brush here, but is that sometimes the Mariners, based on their demographics, play towards the Asian community? Is that a little bit of an Asian delicacy? And is that why that's happening?
Well, I can attest. I'm sorry, George. I can attest from living in Hawaii. I lived on the island of Oahu for like 14 months. And they had those ABC shops everywhere, like those convenient places. And where they had like the candy, there was also like you could buy bugs. Like they had like, you know, like a bug.
Okay. I'm sorry I brought this up now.
This is
you can buy bugs as candy. Oh, you're just killing me.
So, I mean, it wasn't that crazy when I saw it, but I mean, I wouldn't eat a bug.
You should. It's toasted grasshoppers. I'm looking at a bowl of it now.
Yeah, I'm not making this up.
You're like lime chili or something?
Yeah, that is unbelievable.
Well, I think the grasshopper
is... We'll do a segment on this later.
Yeah, the grasshopper is getting put into, like, nutrition bars now. It's supposed to be this, like, great kind of thing. I don't know.
Toasted grasshoppers tossed in chili lime salt. For the low price of $4, this is according to Sports Illustrated John Taylor. For the low price of $4, you can grab yourself a big cup of grasshoppers tossed in chili lime salt, a Mexican culinary tradition and staple at any Mariners home game this year. They are a one-of-a-kind snack that the fans will really love, either on a taco or on their own, said Steve Dominguez, the center plate general manager at Safeco. One-of-a-kind is being generous. It's safe to say that most MLB and minor league teams probably aren't venturing into the edible insect space. That really is amazing that they're trying that. I will not be partaking. I don't think I would try it. Did you have any bugs while you're in Hawaii?
No, I never ate a bug. I mean, maybe if I was on Survivor, I would have to eat a bug or something like that. But I do
not
think
happening.
I do think the insect kind of things like this is coming our way. It's going to become more mainstream as these kind of, you know, people are looking for health, supposedly, like I said, there's supposedly some great nutrition in one of these bugs or something, a grasshopper or something like that. So these green fanatics will be pushing it.
Remember when those radio stations would have, like, you know, 103.5? Well, if you ate 103 and a half crickets, you'd get tickets to the Super Bowl. I don't want to go to the Super Bowl that badly. I'm not eating a grasshopper. I'm not eating any bugs as candy. It's not how. Give my French fries. I'm Irish, man. Give my fries.
Yeah, I'm with George.
I'm kind of with you on this. But it's, you know, it's interesting to see what these teams are going after. I wouldn't have anticipated that, but I think it's fair to say that Matt's accurate in that it's becoming more mainstream, and they're serving it at a baseball game, a Major League Baseball game. So it looks like the Royals have a pulled pork patty melt on a funnel cake, totally unnecessary, a giant pork chop sandwich that serves four but could probably feed at least twice that, courtesy of the Braves. And a bunch of brisket deep fried and covered in powdered sugar, courtesy of the Rangers. So
who sells that turkey leg you could kill somebody with?
Oh, that's I think in Baltimore and Philly you can get that. Like Boog's Barbecue, I'm pretty sure has that. But I will say one thing: it took Major League Baseball and all these arenas and stadiums long enough. The food quality has gotten so much better. I mean, it used to just be hot dog and some terrible patty that was laying out there for a burger. So,
yeah.
This is because they're all competing, right? Don't you hear what all these stadiums say? We have to compete for your entertainment, not for baseball, for your entertainment business. That's why they're all gearing towards social media, having to make sure the Wi-Fi is good so you can get on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, whatever else is out there. And the food has to be top-notch. Because you know, not everybody's going to watch the games. People are going to hang out with their friends, whatever it might be, have some dinner. And this is what they're doing. So I get it. They have to be able to compete. That's the one good thing.
Yeah, I went to the Frozen Four the other night at the United Center in Chicago. And it's a little bit of an older stadium. So I found there to be – it's one of those things that you kind of notice when you've recently been in a newer stadium. You go to an older stadium, there's just less options available. You know, most of the stuff that they had available were, you know, dogs and pretzels and all the standard fare. You didn't see as many options at a place like that as you would at a newer stadium. But in any event.
But at least in Chicago, you get to have Italian beef. Those are pretty good sandwiches.
Yeah. I did not partake. I've been a little under the weather, so I kind of kept it really nice and easy. Had a pretzel and called it a night. But we'll get to one game before we hit a break. Sox Tigers yesterday. We had 6-5. Tigers get the win over the Sox, both 2-1 on the season. Highlights, McCann, homer for the Tigers, home run for Pablo Sandoval, a name that, you know, we didn't really talk about too much this spring. Clearly last year was a wash, and 3-for-4 yesterday, a couple of hits and a run scored. So, I mean, we never really even touched on Pablo Sandoval on this show, Matt.
Yeah, I mean, Sandoval to me was never that great of a player. He had one really good season, in my opinion. He's shined at the highest levels, on the World Series stage and the playoffs, which is a great thing. I thought Boston was crazy to give him $90 million, especially a guy that was not going to age well and was approaching 30 years old. I did tweet out yesterday, I thought that the home run was more of an indictment on K-Rod. And, I mean, Boston, another thing to look at in that lineup, he batted eighth yesterday, and Boston was kind of like a mass unit lineup. They had no Hanley, no Mookie Betts, and no Bogarts. So that should be telling as well.
And, George, Michael Fulmer goes out there, to Matt's point, a little bit of a mash unit, but he goes out there, throws six strong innings, gives up just four hits and a couple of walks. So has yet to give up a run, whereas Stephen Wright struggled a little bit in 6 2/3, gave up four runs. Not a terrible outing, but certainly not his best. So your thoughts on Fulmer first.
So I'm still weeping. I'm still crying here. I have FOMO in three or four of my teams. Love them. Absolutely love them. They're a hard throw. We're going to get you strikeouts. Detroit should get you enough wins there. The ballpark actually plays neutral, which is surprising to me. But that being said, love FOMO. And to watch K-Rod blow that save, just crushing. Because you need the W's. So that was crushing there. But listen, I think FOMO is... probably SP, high-end SP3 right now. Certainly the upside to be an SP2. It's a good kid. It just tells you the Mets, man, yeah, we give them a lot of grief for their pitchers getting hurt, but they do know how to develop young pitchers. Because FOMO was in the Mets system, traded in the Suspedes deal. So he's a player I like, and I like a lot.
Go ahead.
I've been on the opposite end of FOMO. I think he's a good pitcher. I think... Maybe I'm wrong. I said I'm willing to be wrong this year. That second half kind of scared me a little. I mean, the strikeout rate dipped. The walk rate wasn't so great. The changeup is a pitch that he really needs and has been big for him. But we're going to see. I mean, yesterday he kind of had that, like I said, that not the top lineup, but he did pitch well and got the batters out that he needed to face.
Good start so far for Ian Kinsler on the season, Matt.
Yeah, I mean, Ian Kinsler, he's another year older, but I think this guy is just a fantastic player. He's not a guy that I have a lot of shares of. It wasn't because I didn't like him. I was mainly getting, say, the Brian Dozier, Gene Segura types earlier, and at that range, I was either getting a closer or like a second starter. So it wasn't that I didn't like Kinsler. I think he's a very good player. I just had other needs to fill.
And George Kinsler, I mean, is it, you know, we didn't talk about him too much this preseason. We touched on him certainly at times, but is it because we saw some legitimate depth at second base and he was in a little bit of a lower tier? I mean, the guy hit 28 homers last year.
Yeah, I said it earlier. I think second base is very strong this year. Kinsler had a monster year last season. See, no reason why he won't do it again this year. Had a very good WBC. Made some stupid comments, but had a very good WBC. So I think maybe it's overshadowed because who else plays second base? Altuve, Cano, Dozier, you know, big names. Guys you want at the top of your drafts. He sort of falls down here. You think Kinsler, maybe you're not thinking 28 homers. Maybe you forget that he had 28 last year. You know, that sort of thing there where he just, sort of filters into the woodwork here where he just messes him with everybody else. You don't think he's as good as he is. But Kinsler, solid player. You're going to be happy with him. Detroit's going to score a lot of runs this year. He'll be a big part of it. Mickey hasn't even gotten going yet. Like I said, this team is poised. They're going to score runs. They're going to give him up, too. But they'll score plenty.
Yeah, I mean, he's hitting at the top of the lineup right now. Last year, 28 homers, 14 stolen bases, which isn't a ton, but it gives you a little bit, right? When you're trying to reach a certain total, it gives you a little bit. And he's hitting .288 at 34 years of age. I struggle to see, you know, the lack of – I can't call it a lack of support, but, I think, as George said, he's going to be in a good position to score a lot of runs this year, so we'll keep an eye on that. We'll get back to more games after the break with Mike, George, and Matt. We're back on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network, Roto Experts in the Morning. Taking you around the horn in MLB, yesterday's news and notes, scores. Javier Baez, day-to-day. Concussion, saw that earlier. Concussion protocol, or didn't have to go through the concussion protocol. I don't think I'm too worried about that. We'll go through some other, kind of injury notes in a little bit. But want to continue to go through yesterday's games. It's early in the season. We still want to give everybody a sense of what we think of these players for this season. Obviously, all drafts are done, and we're moving on and trying to win you your league. But want to just get some thoughts still early on our projections for these players and give you some idea if you need to be making a move for somebody or if you are high on somebody and you need to be weary of that. Like Trey Turner, who's hitting .111 early in the season, over 5 with 3 strikeouts yesterday, as we talk about Washington and Philly. So, look, guys, I'm never going to sound the alarm when we're at 4 games in. But Trey Turner struggling early. George, he was a guy that you were avoiding because you thought he was being way overpriced. So early returns are good on your prediction for Trey Turner.
Well, when I said this is not what I meant, that he was going to fall apart. I mean, I meant that first round pick was crazy. You know, a young player has to make adjustments. We're four games in. This means nothing. Plus, he's playing in Washington. First four games have been brutally cold, right? So maybe he's amazing. One of those guys doesn't like playing, hitting in the cold weather. It's going to take him a couple of weeks to warm up. I said, I don't worry about any of my play. excuse me, any of my top-end players right now. Talk to me May 1st. And then I might worry a little bit, maybe even later than that. Low-end players, you know, that part of the roster I'll still churn here. That's not to say I wouldn't trade somebody, a good player, if the trade makes sense. I'm not trading anybody because I don't believe. If I believed 2 weeks ago, I believe now. You know, I'm not going to panic about any of this. You know, Scott Engel, at least I think it was Scott, he asked the question yesterday. Do you even look at the standings in your – I think you said it earlier, Mike, also, that you were you got up to a slow start. Who cares? It's 4 days in. I mean, you get one save tonight, you might jump up four spots in your standings. It's a joke right now. The standings are so highly fluctuating right now. I don't worry about standings. I don't worry about players. Talk to me in a couple of weeks to a month. Then maybe I'll start to panic a little bit.
Matt, you feel the same way?
Yeah, I feel the same way. And the thing with Trey Turner is I didn't think he was a first-round draft pick. I thought he could earn first-round value just on his speed and runs that he'll be able to score with Washington. Hey, look, it's like George said, it's the first week. The things that I'm looking at right now is, one, I think the lineup needs to change. Trey Turner should be batting second. Adam Eaton's had a 360 OBP or greater the last three seasons. He should be leading off. It breaks up the three lefties anyway. Trey Turner batting second allows him to see constant fastballs, especially if Eaton's on first. Harper's on deck behind him, who I think is the National League MVP. I took him over several players that were more high profile this year. And the thing right now with Trey Turner in his first 18 at-bats, he's got 7 strikeouts, 0 walks. Maybe the kid's trying a little too much too. But I think you drop him one spot in the order, and I think it's going to pay huge dividends for the Washington Nationals and Trey Turner owners.
I mean, George, had he hit leadoff at any other point during his career, he's probably more a little bit down the lineup kind of guy. So it's putting a lot of pressure on a young guy to fulfill a little bit of a new role, no?
That has plenty of pressure on him anyway, right? Next superstar, he's been talked about for a while. So, no, I'm not really worried about that. I think Matt's right. I think that's at least worth a shot, right? Although, once again, it's 4 games in. Maybe Dusty Baker's thinking the same thing. 4 games in, what am I worried about? It's not like we're losing. Excuse me. It's not like we're losing games. We're still winning. No reason to make any kind of drastic changes here. That being said, when you acquired Eaton in the offseason, I assumed he'd be the leadoff guy, Turner, too. Yes, you still got Harper and Murphy batting 3-4, your two lefties together. But when three of your top four hitters are lefties, no matter how you mix that up, two are going to be batting in a row.
Yeah, so we have, and by the way, so Matt, you gave me, you made me think what happened in my draft the other night. So I had the 6th pick, and my debate was Machado or Harper. And I anguished over it, and I went with Machado. So you would have gone with Harper there.
I would have gone with Harper, but Machado is the safer play. What Machado has done year in and year out, that consistency has been there. I'm of the belief Bryce Harper was injured last year. He had a shoulder problem, and when I look back at 2015, and people were saying he was better than Mike Trout that year, he's 24 years old. I think he's a future Hall of Famer. So he's a guy that I took in. I took Clayton Kershaw number one in one of my drafts in New York, but in another draft in an overall format where Clayton Kershaw fell to me at 7, I passed. I took Bryce Harper. I took Bryce Harper with the 5th pick in the Las Vegas main event as well. That's how highly I regard Bryce Harper this season. I think he's the MVP, hands down.
Well, as a second homer yesterday, George, off to a good start, as is Daniel Murphy and Ryan Zimmerman. So the meat of that order, you know, again, it's just 4 games, but they're having a good week, and we'll see if Turner can set the table for them even a little bit more. But Harper off to a good start, obviously.
Harper's always off to a good start. Yeah. I mean, it doesn't always seem like he hits like 4 home runs on opening day.
April's his month, yeah.
It is. He's not somebody who's worried about the cold weather plays. Well, I agree with Matt, by the way. I think last year was injury. I've said that before here, so I'm not all concerned about that. As for you, Mike, I mean, Harper Machado, that's a coin flip. You go with whichever way you want to go, and you're fine either way. I don't think I have either one of them in any league. I didn't have that mid-round pick either. I had, I think I had one draft. I had the first overall pick, so that was Trout. Every other draft, I had 10 and below, which neither one of those players was ever available, so not a decision I had to make.
Yeah, so Max Scherzer, his first out in the season. I'm happy about this. Yeah, he throws 98 pitches yesterday, so blister probably not an issue anymore. 6 2/3. I mean, it can always pop up, obviously, but you got to feel good about his first start, which they delayed from a little bit earlier in the season. 6 2/3 gives up just 2 runs and has the 7 Ks. So everything you want out of Max Scherzer, you got yesterday, Matt.
Yeah, Max is just magnificent. He's like very close to Kershaw. He's not Kershaw, but nobody else is. But he's like 1A, in my opinion. The thing in this game that really stood out to me is Blake Treinen. The sinker is filthy. They try and compare it to Zach Britton, but he gave up a home run yesterday. That's 2 games in a row with runs. Keep an eye on Cody Glover. I think he's the guy they want to be the closer at some point this year, though Treinen is very talented.
George, your thoughts on the closure situation there early and throughout the year?
Yeah, Matt's right. If you, you're speculating for saves, you need a closer here. You might want to go out and grab Glover. Washington does not want to pay for a closer. They wouldn't pay for Andrew Miller or Aroldis Chapman last year. They won't pay for David Robertson right now. They want to see if they can work it out from within. Maybe it works out. Maybe it doesn't. Treinen struggling a little bit. Glover would be next in line.
That's 1 hour down, folks. 2 hours to go. We're going to continue to take you around the horn with MLB. Talk about today's games coming up. Preview that and our good matchups on the day. So it's Mike, Matt, and George on the Roto Experts in the morning.